Hey, welcome to the Science Dog Podcast, Season 1, Episode 4. Before we start today, I'd like to let you know about one of our most popular projects, the Science Dog Courses. These are online nutrition and health courses with a bit of behavior and training thrown in for good measure. We offer webinars, short courses, and longer courses for those of you who wish to do a deep dive into canine nutritional science. There are even some free webinars available, and who doesn't enjoy free? So to learn more, just visit the Science Dog Courses at courses.thesciencedog.com. That's courses.thesciencedog.com. So let's now talk about fat. Today, on episode 4, we begin our discussion of the omega-3 fatty acids. The omega-3 family of fatty acids receive quite a bit of attention these days, and with good reason. We have known for some time that increasing omega-3 fatty acids and improving the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fats in our dogs' diets are associated with certain health benefits. Although the effects of adding these fats to a dog's food are often overstated, It is probable that increasing omega-3 fatty acids in dogs' food is a healthful dietary change to make. So let's look at the omega-3 fatty acids. Here's a bit of background. As nutrients, fatty acids can be classified into families. The two that are most important nutritionally are the omega-6 fatty acids and the omega-3 fatty acids. Both types are important in the diet. This is important to know, as all of the hype these days about omega-3 fatty acids can lead dog owners to believe that only omega-3 fatty acids are important for our dogs' diets. The reason for this focus is that our present-day dog foods, like human foods, tend to contain an overabundance of omega-6 fatty acids. This has occurred simply because of the types of ingredients that are produced by modern-day agricultural systems. Linoleic acid and arachidonic acid are both omega-6 fatty acids, with linoleic acid being the parent omega-6 fatty acid from which all others are derived. The three fatty acids in the omega-3 family that are important nutritionally are the parent fatty acid, alpha-linolenic acid, often abbreviated as ALA, and its long-chain derivatives, eicosapentaenoic acid, or EPA, and docosahexaenoic acid, or DHA. It is these two latter fatty acids, EPA and DHA, that are associated with various health benefits. So, generally speaking, EPA is considered to be helpful for reducing inflammatory responses in the body, and DHA is needed, especially in very young puppies, for optimal neurological and visual development. Conversely, ALA, the parent omega-3 fatty acid, may have some independent benefits of its own in the body, but these are not well documented in dogs to date. ALA is most frequently discussed in the context of being the precursor fatty acid of EPA and DHA. So the supposition is that if a food is enriched with ALA from various plant sources, one of which is flax, that we then are also enriching the dog's diet with EPA and DHA because EPA and DHA are subsequently produced in the body from the dietary source of ALA. But here is the rub. Although most mammals, including dogs, can convert some ALA to EPA and DHA in the body, they do not do this very well. For dogs, we know that newborn puppies are most efficient and that this ability gradually declines as puppies reach adulthood. The ability of adult dogs to convert ALA to EPA and DHA may be too low to effectively increase the long chain and beneficial omega-3 fatty acids in the body's blood and tissues. For this reason, the source of the omega-3 fatty acids in a dog's diet becomes a very important consideration. Which brings us to the question of flax versus fish. Interestingly, marine algae are the most efficient and the most prolific converters of ALA to EPA and DHA. Subsequently, certain species of cold water fish, those that eat either algae directly or those that consume marine creatures that eat the algae, you know, food chains and all that, these become concentrated sources of EPA and DHA. For dogs, fish oils such as salmon, menhaden, and herring oil are all direct sources of the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids. In other words, they bypass the need for the body to convert ALA to EPA and DHA. Okay, so certain types of fish oils are good sources of EPA and DHA. What about flax as a source of ALA? If this is true, why then is flax and flaxseed oil so frequently promoted as a beneficial source of omega-3 fatty acids in commercial dog foods or for use as a dietary supplement? Well, it is true that flax is a concentrated source of ALA. However, it contains no EPA or DHA at all. It is included in commercial pet foods because it is a relatively inexpensive and sustainable way to increase a food's concentration of total omega-3 fatty acids. We actually will discuss this particular issue, how these omega-3 fatty acids are found and measured in pet foods, in another essay and podcast. The presumption has been that as a source of ALA, flax effectively leads to increased EPA and DHA in a dog's blood and tissues. However, this supposition is a bit fishy, since we know that dogs are not very efficient converters of ALA to EPA and DHA. And as is our habit on the Science Dog, any supposition needs some data to back it up, and lo and behold, we have some. Very recently, a group of researchers at Norway's Aker Biomarine Antarctic AS, which actually is a producer of krill oil, decided to confront this issue head-on by testing the ability of flaxseed oil to influence the EPA and DHA status of adult dogs. So here is what they did in their experiment. The researchers' objectives were to study the effects of feeding either a source of ALA, flaxseed oil, or a source of EPA and DHA, krill oil, on an accepted measure of omega-3 fatty acid status. This is called the omega-3 index in adult dogs. The omega-3 index involves measuring the levels of EPA and DHA in circulating red blood cells. So 20 adult Alaskan Huskies were included in their study. All of the dogs were fed the same complete and balanced dog food. 10 of the dogs were supplemented daily with flaxseed oil to supply 1.068 milligrams of ALA, and 10 were supplemented with krill oil to supply 1.15 milligrams of EPA/DHA. The study was 6 weeks in length. Blood fatty acid levels and the omega-3 index were measured at the start of the study, week 0, midway through the study, week 3, and at the end of the study, week 6. So, we need a drum roll. What did they find? So, the results found, first, as far as krill oil goes, the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA, increased significantly in the dogs who were fed supplemental krill oil, but not in the dogs fed supplemental flaxseed oil. This difference was quite dramatic. The omega-3 index increased by more than 60% in the dogs fed krill oil. So 60% more than the dogs that were not fed krill oil. In flaxseed oil, the index in the dogs fed flaxseed oil actually decreased significantly, which is not expected. So the omega-3 in the dogs fed ALA actually decreased significantly during the study period, going from 1.6% to 0.96%. These results provide strong evidence that including flax in the diets of dogs with the intent of improving their omega-3 fatty acid status is not effective, and that providing a direct source of the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA, from a fish oil, such as krill oil, is highly effective. A graphic that is included with the Science Dog essay on this topic at thesciencedog.com demonstrates the dramatic difference between these two groups. The essay can be found at the same essay with this the topic of this podcast on our website. So what's the takeaway for dog folks? These results provide impressive evidence that feeding flax to dogs may not be an effective means of enhancing omega-3 fatty acid status when the goal is to increase EPA and DHA levels in tissues. We should note that the index that was used, a measure of fatty acids that are incorporated into circulating red blood cells, was used because it is an accepted indicator of whole blood tissue omega-3 status. Another benefit of krill meal and oil, which is a relative newcomer on the pet food ingredient market, is that krill, specifically Antarctic krill, is considered to be a sustainable source of marine long-chain omega-3 fatty acids. This is also true of several specific types of microalgae, another relative newcomer to the omega-3 pet food and supplement marketplace. More about that in a podcast to come. So, Science Dog readers and listeners, when you look at omega-3 fatty acids on dog food labels, make sure that you examine the sources of these important fatty acids. More about omega-3 fatty acids in actual commercial pet foods will be discussed very soon. Thanks for listening. The title of this piece on the Science Dog blog is New Facts About Flax. And as always, the references for this piece can be found there as well. To read it, just visit thesciencedog.com.